Back's hurting some, but hey, take your Bible to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, if you would. And we're going to look at one verse here and keep your Bible open there. And we still want to talk to you about being wise, all right? And if there's one thing in this whole world we need wisdom. We need to be wise about a lot of things. And I think this is the 28th message I've preached. I had somebody tell me the other night, they thought, well, I guess you're done because it's Wednesday night and you didn't preach on be wise. No, we just took a breather, all right? So we'll keep going, if you will. Galatians chapter 6, notice down in verse 7. The Bible said, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, hey, if you've been a Christian very long, if you've been going to church very long, and then you've heard probably a bunch of sermons dealing with sowing and reaping. Sometimes, you know, it seems like we point a lot of these at young people, but the law of sowing and reaping doesn't cease to be operational when you reach a certain age. It works all the time, all right? But even after all those sermons, unfortunately, many don't seem to be very wise about the subject of sowing and reaping. You say, why do you say that? Because it seems that folks ought to know better don't. Amen. And they almost live as the truth of this verse wasn't true, all right? And they live like it's not true, but it is true, okay? It's a law of the Scriptures, all right? It is a law. We talk about the laws of the Medes and the Persians. Well, I'm not worried about the laws of the Medes and the Persians, but I am worried about the laws of God, all right? And if there's some laws we ought to be up to date on, it ought to be that. It ought to be the law of God. And the law of sowing and reaping is one of those laws. It's in the Scriptures, and hey, it's applicable for the sinner and the saint. If you're lost, it's true for you. If you're here and you're born again, you've been saved for years, it's still true. It still applies, okay? There's no exemption from it. The Christian is going to reap what he sows just as much as the unsaved man will reap what he sows. And you can count on that. Now, we're going to kind of look at two things about it. It's amazing to me, but normally, when we talk about sowing and reaping, the focus is on the negative. It's on the negative. Let's be honest, it is, all right? But being human, it's easier for us to focus on the negative when it comes to this law, all right? Hey, let's face it, there's a lot of negative to focus on. You still have your Bible open there in Galatians 6. We read verse 7. Look at verse 8. First half of verse 8 says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Shall of the flesh reap corruption. Hey, most of the time, this is where the emphasis is placed when we talk about sowing and reaping. You said, why is that? Because we're so prone to sow to the flesh. I mean, let's face it, we are. We're just prone to sow to the flesh. I went to Sam's today, and I was after some stuff for the school and some drinks and some food. And while I was there, my flesh began to talk to me. And it began to talk to me about some cookies they have over there in a certain section of Sam's. And I just feel like the Lord led me down that aisle. Okay, God probably had nothing to do with it, all right? It was the flesh. And so I went down there and I picked up some of those cookies. And I didn't eat them all, just relax, okay? And just so I could feel better about it, I did give one away today, all right? But hey, let's face it, as sinners, it's just easier for us to sow to the flesh. All right? I mean, it's that way, all right? It is that way. We pay a price when we do. We pay a price when we do. But it's easy because we're sinners. We may be saved sinners, but we're still sinners. And we have to deal with that flesh. So we oftentimes sow to that flesh. And Hey, there are plenty of examples from Scripture where God's children have sown to the flesh and they've reaped the corruption that they have sown. Look over in Proverbs chapter 22, would you? Proverbs chapter 22. And we'll look at a verse here and think, oh my, the truth of it and how true it is. But in Proverbs 22, in verse 8, the Bible says, he that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity. Hey, listen, when you sow sin, you're going to reap the results of it, all right? And boy, we see the example in the Scripture. Think about King David. King David, the Bible says, a man after God's own heart. Man after God's own heart. The wonderful psalmist, the one that stood before Goliath and basically said, how dare you defy the armies of the living God? And he went, took him on with just a slingshot and slew Goliath, man of great faith. But boy, he also committed a great sin. Committed a great sin. His wicked ways robbed him of the joy that he had in life. Not only did it do that, it ruined two families. It ruined his family, it ruined Bathsheba's family. All through the life of David, the rest of David's life, after his sin with Bathsheba, he reaped the reward of that sin. He said, well, wait a minute, preacher, wait a minute. He confessed it to God and he made it right. Yes, he did. But he still had to reap. He still had to reap. He still had to reap the results of it and suffered through that reaping, for the rest of his life. Had trouble with his children. His son rebelled against him, and he had to run for his life. And it was just disastrous, one disastrous tale after another in his life. Why? Because of his sin. Now, just if nothing else, mark that down and remember, even the great ones cannot sin and get away with it. David was a great man of God, but he sinned and he paid the price for it. He said God forgave him. God did forgive him. By the way, had he not, God would have killed him. But he got forgiveness, but he still had to pay the price, okay? Still had to pay the price. Then I think about Samson. Samson was a man that God gifted. The Spirit of God came upon him from time to time. And he could do what no other man of that day could approach doing. But man, here he was deceptive. He was indifferent with his parents. You think about the story of Samson, okay? He brought them honey and he didn't tell them where that honey came from. He was indifferent towards them he said he found a woman he wanted to take to be his wife, and his dad said, hey, you're picking them from the wrong people. Samson was indifferent, though, to what his parents said. Hey, did you ever stop and think about how he reaped that with Delilah? Somebody he was interested in, but boy, she was deceptive to him. She was indifferent to him. Why? He was reaping what he sowed. He sowed lust. And boy, did he forevermore reap a bumper crop. Blinded and enslaved. Why? Because of his sin. Hey, you're going to reap. If you sin, you're going to reap the results of that sin. All right? We think, well, I'll get away with it. No. You'll reap the results of it. You'll reap that sin. You're going to reap what you sow. Take your Bible there to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. Look down at verse 27. The Bible said, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. The Bible said, you know, you'll reap if you sow a trap for somebody else. You know, some people think, well, I'm going to fix so-and-so. And I'm going to set this thing up to where they're going to be, caught. And you better be careful. you better be careful. The Bible said you're going to reap. If you sow a trap for others, he said, you dig a pit for somebody else, that's the one you will fall into. You said, how'd that happen? Well, just a couple weeks ago, within the last couple of weeks, Brother Dunbar preached to us out of the book of Esther. There's no better example of somebody that set a trap and then got hung in his own trap than Haman. Haman had it all figured out. He had it all lined up. He's going to get rid of his chief antagonist. At least that's the way he saw Mordecai. And he said, we're going to get rid of him. And I've got it all lined up, got it all fixed up, and had it set so much, he already had the gallows built to hang him. And if you're familiar with what happens in Esther, by the way, if you're not, read the book, all right? Just read the book, short book. But Haman wound up hanging on that own gallows. Why? Well, he reaped. He set the trap, but he reaped what he sowed. He wound up in that own trap. I think about those that got together and conspired against Daniel. Daniel, one of the princes in the land, the other princes got together and said, we got to get rid of him because he makes us all look bad. said the only way to get rid of him is through his faith. We've got to set it up to make his faith illegal. So they conspired together. They set the trap. And Daniel walked into it. Now, he didn't walk into it with his eyes closed. He walked into it with his eyes wide open. He wasn't concerned. He knew what was going on. So they set the trap for him. He went into it. He did. He prayed just like he always had prayed. You know, God would have stirred his prayer had he not prayed with the windows open and praying in that window. But his enemies would have won had he not done that. So Daniel stepped up and prayed the way he always had. Man, they ran to the king and said, we got him, we got him. Cast him into the den of lions. Had the trap set. Unfortunately for them, the lions weren't hungry that night. They weren't interested. But the next day, when those who conspired against Daniel wound up where Daniel had been, they were hungry. And they devoured them. You said, what happened? They had set a trap, but they sowed, all right? And they reaped what they sowed. Look, you and I can't escape if the same thing if we tried. We can't escape. You're going to reap what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. Take your Bible to Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21. Would you look in verse 13? Proverbs 21. Verse 13, the Bible says this. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Hey, you're going to reap if you stop your ears at the cries of the poor. You can't be insensitive. You can't be indifferent toward the needs of poor folks without reaping at some point that same insensitiveness turned towards you. The Bible said it's going to fall in your lap. You need to be careful how you treat people. You just need to take care. Everyone may be not as blessed as you are blessed. Everyone may not benefit the way you've benefited, but you better be careful if the cry of the poor comes up. You better not ignore it and be indifferent to it. You better realize, hey, there's something I can do. And if you don't, you're going to reap that, all right? You're going to reap that attitude that you displayed toward them. Now, I said tonight, we focus on the negative when we usually talk about sowing and reaping. But can I say this? There's a positive application. There is a positive application. We preachers use it to batter folks, maybe. You know, and warn you and try to warn people, and we do that. But I want you to think about what we just read in chapter 21, verse 13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. But you remember that, and remember that, go back to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, and then look down, if you will, in verse 25. See, here's kind of the other side of the coin. The Bible said, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Hey, the picture there is somebody who is blessed and is doing all right, and they give, all right? That person becomes a giver, not just a taker. The law of sowing and reaping is true for blessing as well as it is for judgment, all right? Hey, is it true if you sin, God's judgment will fall? Yes. You can look at David and see that. You can look at Samson and you can see that. You can look at Haman, you can see that. You can look at conspirators against Daniel and see that. And the truth of the matter is, over and over and over and over and over in the Bible, you see it. God's judgment does fall. But wait a minute. That law of sowing and reaping also applies for blessing. When you give to others in need, or you learn to give to others in need, or you give to the Lord, you're going to reap God's blessing on your life. If you've been around here, you've heard me preach this a little bit. I'll say things about giving from time to time. And I'll always, pretty much always say this. The reason I talk to you about giving is because I want God's blessing on your life. And nothing brings the blessing of God like learning to give. Boy, it just does something for you, all right? If you learn to give to God, you learn to give back to Him. And there's verse after verse about if we'll give, God opens the windows of heaven and He pours out a blessing. And Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, shaken, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Man, we just go on and on. There's so many verses about that. If we learn to give, wow, how God turns around and blesses us. Hey, we've got the promise of God on that truth. If you just learn to give. And Mrs. Sadowski's here, and she threatened me one time if I said this again, all right? She threatened me one time if I was to again say, I'm a very selfish person. But it's through giving that it's helped me to get past that. It's through giving. Learning to give. And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying this bragging on me, but I'm just trying to give you an example of what God will do for you if you'll learn to give, okay? If you'll learn to be the giver and not always the taker, and learn what it is to pick up the tab at the restaurant and say, I'll pay for it. I'll pay for it. As a teenager, I didn't have very much money. And I was out of high school, going to college, working, but man, I didn't have any money to speak of. And we would, almost every Sunday night after church, there was a group of us would go to the Pizza Hut, or Pizza Inn, one of the pizza joints anyway. It was over on Jacksboro Highway, whether it was a Pizza Hut or a Pizza Inn, I can't remember. But we'd go over there and we would eat, you know. And I remember very many times, many occasions there where I kind of held back and only paid what I had to, because I hadn't learned yet what a blessing it is to give. I hadn't learned that. Boy, what a good thing it is. You reap when you supply for others, or you give to others. Let me say this to you. When I say you reap, I'm not talking about these characters on the health and wealth gospel prosperity kick tell you that if you'll give, you'll be rich. I don't tell you that. They'll tell you if you'll send us an offering, we'll send you a wallet that we've anointed and prayed over. Well, if you'll send me an offering, I'll do the same thing, all right? But I'm not going to tell you what they say is going to happen, all right? I'm not saying to you, you'll become wealthy, you're going to be... I'm saying God will bless you. God will bless you. And boy, there's just something about learning to give to help. There's just something about it. Now I give because I am selfish. You say, run that by me one more time. Now I give because I am selfish. Because I want the blessing. I want the blessing. And I've learned to do that. I've learned that it is a great blessing to do that. Just learn to give and be a help to somebody. I don't know if you've ever done this. This has nothing to do with Scripture, okay? I don't know if you've ever done this, but it's amazing. If you're at a restaurant, I've been at a restaurant before, and God has laid it on my heart to pay the bill for somebody else's table. And God just said, pay for theirs. And I've done that. Now, I'm not saying it's bragging on me, but I'm saying to you, now I do that because I'm selfish, because of the blessing it brings. And some of those blessings are just good feelings. You say, well, we don't live by feelings, we live by faith. We do live by faith. But I don't know about you, but I enjoy good feelings, okay? I enjoy the feeling good sometimes. And I've been in places like that where the Lord has said, you do that, and I've done that, and man, what a blessing it is to do it. Nobody knew. I told the waitress, don't tell them who, but I just want you to give me their tab, I'll pay theirs too. And what a blessing it is to do that, all right? What a blessing it is. Learn that law of sowing and reaping. It's true for blessings. It's not just judgment, all right? Take your Bible, Proverbs 24, okay? Proverbs chapter 24. Notice what the Bible says. Sometimes we have a tendency to emphasize the negative, and the negative is true, and it is right. God's judgment does fall, and when we reap what we sow when it comes to sin. But wait a minute. Proverbs 24, chapter 24, verse 12. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that considereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? But I want you to look at this last part of this verse. And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Hey, can I say this to you? You're going to reap what you sow when it comes to service. When it comes to serving God, you're going to reap what you sow. My friend, look, you reap the rewards of hard work. Hard work. I believe in serving God. I believe in being involved in the work of God. And I believe everybody ought to look for something that they could do for the Lord, all right? And most of us, we check off all we can't do. Well, I can't sing a special. I can't sing in the choir. Preacher, I can't teach a class. Quit looking for what you can't do. Try to look for what you can do, all right? Look for what you can do. Look for what's available. Look for, Lord, there's got to be something I can do. And do that, all right? It doesn't have to be in the public eye. It doesn't have to be seen. It can be mowing grass. It can be cleaning in the building. It can be a ton of different things, but look for what you can do. Why? Because God will reward you, all right? Notice what he said there. Shall not he render to every man according to his works? The blessing of God. Hey, can I say this? Part of the reward for hard work is the character that it develops in the individual. Just the character it puts in you. Yes, it includes the fruit of the labor. Yeah, it does. I mean, if you get out and you work hard and you get a paycheck, it's wonderful to have that. But I'll tell you, just good hard work is good because of the character that it puts into you, okay? There's so many people in our day want the reward without the work. I want the reward. I don't want to work. Saturday, I think it was Saturday morning, I had to get a battery for my wife's vehicle, mainly because it was going dead. So I drove the car down to the auto parts store down here. I had the guy come out and check it. And he said, yep, it's your battery. I told him, this is the first time I've been happy to hear that I needed a battery. Because I thought of all the other things it could have been. And how much that would have cost. And so they put it in while I waited. And it took him a little while to come back. And he said, man, I'm sorry. He said, just we're real short-handed. We can't get anybody to work. I said, it's that way all across everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's jobs and people don't want to work, all right? We've given too much reward to people today who've not done anything. And the result is we've got a lazy crowd with a sense of entitlement about them, all right? And you and I, among God's people that believe the Bible, we kind of get aggravated at that kind of thing. Wait a minute, what are we doing for him? What are we doing for him? Hey, he'll bless you. He bless you for what you do in service for him. It doesn't have to be great things. It doesn't have to be, when I say great things, I mean great in the eyes of the world. It doesn't have to be that. Just simply giving of yourself and say, Lord, here I am. I found something I can do. I'll do it. I'll take care of it. All right, I will do this. Take your Bible, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11 and chapter 13, all right? So you get to chapter 13, stick a finger in there, all right? And look in chapter 11, verse 18. I want you to notice, verse 18 says, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness, now you got it? To him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Now remember that. Then look at verse 31. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. Now look at chapter 13, verse 21, would you? Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Can I just say this to you? You're going to reap what you sow in saintliness, if that's a word, okay? You'll reap what you sow in as far as living a godly life. Hey, these scriptures testify to the fact that God's blessings are on those that will live a godly life. Now, I'll be honest. The world may laugh and scoff at those people, make fun, belittle those people who try to live godly lives in the midst of a wicked world, but God takes notes. But God takes notes of those people that do it, all right? God takes note of what you do. Hey, you get out there in the world and the world will come at you, you know, how come you don't curse the way everybody else curses? How come you don't go out after work and drink with everybody else? And if you'll stand up for the Lord, and there will be that crowd that might, there will be that crowd that will respect it, but there'll be that crowd that'll laugh. There'll be that crowd that'll scoff because they have no concept of the blessing of God for those that will live godly in Christ Jesus. But man, it brings a blessing, all right? Brings such a blessing. Let me just name one thing. You don't have to go through life regretting your past. You don't have to go through life regretting your past. I don't know how many people I've talked to that say, preacher, boy, I wish I could change what's been done. Well, you can't change the past. You can't change the past. But man, that's the payoff for living a godly life. You don't have to regret what's in the past, all right? You don't have to do it. I don't have to regret those things. You said, Bridget, you don't have any regrets? I have some regrets. But it's because I've not done more for the Lord. It's not because I did nothing for him. Just wish I'd have done more. Hey, a clear conscience. A clear conscience is worth more than a pot of gold. Clear conscience. Well, where do you get that? Living a godly life. Living a godly life. Hey, isn't it a good thing you can lay your head down at night and not worry about who's going to catch you for what you've done that day? Isn't that a good thing? Well, I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about anybody coming tomorrow and saying, I saw what you did. You say, well, what if somebody says that? I say, well, glory to God. I'm glad you saw it, all right? Hope it helped you, okay? Hope it helped you. But they're not going to do that to you, okay? You say, what are you getting at, preacher? I'm getting at this. You reap what you sow in saintliness. You try to live for God, you're going to reap that. You're going to reap that. What a blessing it is. You know, it's a wonderful thing to think about your life. And you may be sitting here saying, preacher, boy, we should move on because I got regrets. I messed up. Well, what are you going to do from now on? What are you going to do from now on? I've already said it. You can't change the past. But are you going to live for God? You're going to live a godly life from here on out? Okay? If you do, there's nothing to regret. There's nothing to lose sleep over. It's, hey, Lord, what's under the blood is under the blood, but now I'm going to live for you. What a good conscience it gives you. Good conscience it gives you. And you don't have to meet people and say that person over there, man, that's that person I stiffed the other day. That's that person I cheated. They're probably after me. Hey, you don't have to worry about that. Not to worry about that. Listen, just a few things and I'm done tonight. Number one is, don't expect something different from what you sow. Don't expect something different from what you've sown. You're going to reap what you sow. Okay? You're just going to do it. Second thing, don't expect less than you sow. Truth is, you always reap more. You reap more than you sow. You plant a kernel of corn, you don't reap a kernel of corn. That stalk grows up, there's just one ear on, there's a lot of kernels on that one ear. Hey, you plant, Brother Marion planted watermelon at his house this year. He's so excited the other day, yesterday he came in and brought Brother Dunbar some of the watermelon apart. You know, he had harvested the one that he got, but he said there's a couple more on the vine. There's a couple of more on the vine, all right? And I told him, I was a little bit aggravated at him because he brought it to him and didn't bring his own brother anything. You'll reap what you sow, son, I'm just warning you. Hey, you reap it in blessings, right? But don't expect less than you sow. Don't do it. Third thing, don't expect to grow close to the Lord and get your prayers answered if you live in disobedience to the Word of God. Don't expect it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And lastly, whatever you do, don't try to deceive God. Don't try to deceive God. You say, preacher, who would do that? People do it all the time. Do it all the time. Don't do that. Hey, the law of sowing and reaping, it is true. You will reap what you sow. Hey, but that doesn't have to mean bad things. It doesn't have to mean bad things. You know, you can plant a good crop. I never would have understood anybody that had a garden and wasted time in the garden growing spinach. Doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Got good space, good soil, you waste it growing spinach. Don't understand that? It's beyond my ability to comprehend. Hey, you can sow good things. And God pays off really good. Would you bow your heads tonight and close your eyes, every head bowed and every eye closed? You know, I just wonder tonight, maybe you need to spend a little time at the altar.